across the timeline. Jump pass now is back to Westbrook. Left corner, George up with a three that's on line. Cha-chinky Thunder money ball. 1.8 seconds left. Thunder 112. The Rockets 111. Oh, baby. What a shot.
Paul George, Oklahoma City Thunder rally again. Earlier this year, they were down big to the Rockets in Houston. Came back and won in the second half. Same thing last night in OKC. Oddly enough, that might help the Thunder play the Rockets in the first round of the NBA playoffs. We'll go through the NBA playoff scenario coming up later on during the sports ticket, as Paul George with a game winner, having an MVP-type season, but probably won't win the MVP, although he is certainly deserving, all as are many players in the NBA. James Harden certainly would have a case to go back-to-back, although I don't know if he'll get it or not. And so the Thunder win last night over Houston in OKC, 112-111 on that three-pointer by George with 1.8 seconds to play. And the Thunder, perhaps, all they got to do is beat the Bucks in the last game, which the Bucks have the best record in basketball. The Thunder then would clinch the number six seed in the NBA playoff race. So once again, we'll go over all of that coming up here in just a little bit. Well, the Royals are off to a rough start, so I want to help people out. Remember Jerrod Dyson?
Yes.
Remember him?
Yes.
That's what speed do. I'm going to play this cut for you. Just imagine when the announcer says D-backs, he's saying Royals, and imagine Dyson still in a Royals uniform. You ready? Come on, people. Visualize with me.
2-2 pitch. And a drive to right. Jerrod Dyson has walked off the Diamondbacks. A home run. And the Diamondbacks win this ball game. How about that? 5-4. 3 in the 9th.
You know, I've always liked Jerrod Dyson. I'm glad he's doing well, or at least still in the league. He hasn't exactly tore the league on fire since he left the Royals, but he had a big highlight there, a walk-off home run to win at the bottom of the ninth as the D-backs rallied to win last night 5-4. More on the Royals, plus Magic Johnson stepping aside with the Lakers, and as we said, the NBA playoff scenarios, plus NBA star retiring, but another old guy steals the show. That's coming up here, plus Brown Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. But first, to Dusty for local sports information.
Yeah, there was a lot of track and field yesterday in our area, and it would take me even a really long time just to even go through the gold medal winners. So we'll hit the highlights of yesterday. The full results for all this track and field is at nckssports.com. Boys and girls both took team championships to the Smith Center Redmond relays yesterday, so a good showing for them. A lot of golds, a lot of medals there for both teams at Smith Center. And then Smith Center boys took second place there overall in the team standings at the Smith Center Invitational. At the Stockton Invitational yesterday, the Lakeside girls second, Osborne third. Afton Conway, one of the highlights there, she had four gold medals, yet again winning the 100, 200, 100 hurdles, and 300 hurdles, so adding to her medal count this season. And then also on the boys' side, Osborne took second place as a team there at Stockton, and Lakeside was third. And then Lincoln Invitational, Lincoln was our only area team there. The Lincoln girls finished in first place. Lincoln boys finished in fourth place as a team. Aubrey Donnelly was the highlight there for Lincoln, as she took three gold medals on the day on the girls' side for the Lady Leopards. So, you know, full results for all three of those track and field invitationals can be found at nckssports.com. There was also some baseball and softball yesterday. In softball, Beloit suffered their first two losses of the season. Clay Center's always seem to have their number, and they did again yesterday. Clay Center won the first one 5-0 and took game 2 9-6. Lady Trojans now 6-2 on the season. And in baseball, it was a split between Beloit and Clay Center. Beloit winning the first game 4-3, and Clay Center took the second 3-2. And Bennington getting a sweep over Lincoln Sylvan Lucas in baseball 12-2 and 10-1 yesterday. And all those scores also at nckssports.com. We do have one note about Beloit softball to pass along as well. The games forecast weather is not real good for Thursday, so they've moved the games with Sacred Heart and Beloit softball, postponed those to Tuesday, May 7th. So no games tomorrow at Beloit for softball. Tuesday, May 7th against Sacred Heart is the makeup date for that one. So that's a look at what's going on here in local sports.
All right, our 2019 NCAA tournament bracket contest here locally at the radio station. We had 65 entrants. My 5-year-old finished dead last. We can cut him some slack. He's 5. My 12-year-old finished 62nd out of 65, so close to last. I just absolutely just set the world on fire. I went 60th out of 65, so I still finished second in my family, and that's all I care about. Dusty finished 55th, so not good representation from the Gerstner household with the guys, the boys and me, or Dusty. However, my wife, who does nothing about basketball, be the first one to tell you, finished third in our contest. She had Virginia winning it all. She also had Michigan State in the Final Four. That's a big reason why she got third. Talking about Don Hyland, speaking of somebody who didn't know anything. Don Hyland, well, he knows something. He knows all the private planes. He knows the private islands. He knows the hunting property in southwest Kansas. Anyway, Don, who has so much, I'll bet you he did study up. He has so much free time on his hands. He probably broke this down, and that's why he got second. He got second, but here's the thing. It's a winner-take-all situation. That's what we've done, we did last year, winner-take-all, and the winner is Jax Emerson. How old is Jax?
We all got hustled by a seven-year-old.
A seven-year-old won our contest. That's all you need to know about why it's a crapshoot when it comes to the bracket contest across the country.
My post on Facebook got reposted by, you know, his parents and then his aunt, and his aunt was like, I'm not surprised. This kid loves basketball.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he probably does know about it and
smoked the rest of the family, apparently.
He did, yeah.
Wow. So Jax, who's 7 years old, I wonder if he wants to go to Stampede. We got tickets to Stampede. Perhaps his family will enjoy that. And then Jax can say, just remember that when I have my graduation day. I want my new car or whatever. So I bet Jax would like to go to the movies. We'll hook him up with some movie tickets, also Country Stampede tickets. Jax Emerson is the winner of our bracket contest, and I'm so thankful for Jax not beating Hyland.
Yeah.
My wife's not eligible to win. Don shouldn't even be eligible to win either. Don finished second. Plus, he forgot to fill out the tiebreaker, which would have been funny if he lost because he forgot to fill out the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
But anyway, Jax, 7-year-old Jax, wins our contest, knocking off people from all ages in our local contest.
Yeah. It was looking pretty good for him if Virginia could get a win in the Final Four, and he took it over after that.
Yeah, Treister was in good shape until Virginia won, so he fell to seventh place. Where's Dusty Lowry on this list? He must be
lower than 40.
He must be lower than 40.
I didn't want to print more than the
older than 40,
the 40
but less
that was
than
already
40.
On the page. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I don't know how the Dusty is. He might not be 40 yet. Probably not. Anyway, thanks everybody that played the contest. It's all for fun. I was talking with Mary at the bank. She said, I don't know much about this, and they had a contest within the organization. She got first or second.
Yeah.
And so, hey, you know, she admits she didn't know much about basketball either. That's how it usually goes. So congrats to Jax, 7-year-old Jax, who will be on the show next year and help us fill out our own brackets. Yeah. Jax will be our NCAA tournament correspondent. Yeah. Yes, Jax. Way to go, Jax. Well done. All right, the Royals. Well, here are a couple of highlights for the Royals. They did not win, but we got to build on the little things, such as this wild play last night.
And Mondesi hits it well to center field. Smith is back as the ball carries, and it drives into the track. He goes down to a knee, and Mike Gersely is going to wave home Hamilton. He is in there, scoring from second on a sacrifice fly.
That's what speed do. Billy Hamilton scores all the way from second on Felicia. That was one of just three runs. The Royals lose last night 6-3. So already the Royals are all about individual accolades. Whit Merrifield, a 30-game hitting streak. That it ties the franchise record set by George Brett. And here's how it happened.
Lined into right center field, and he's done it. Whit Merrifield has a 30-game hitting streak, and he's digging for three.
It's amazing he's done that in just 10 games this year. 30-game hitting streak. That is fantastic. Of course, they carry over from last year, which is the right thing to do. And Witt has a 30-game hitting streak, and he can break the franchise record tonight with a base hit. It always helps when you get a hit in your first at-bat. That takes the pressure off of a hitting streak. The all-time record, he's only 26 games away. 56 in a row, which I still think that'll never be broken in Major League Baseball history. Ned Yost talks about Witt and that record.
We're excited for him, but, you know, my mind is, okay, anybody can tie the record. Let's see who can break it, right? But if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be him because he's embracing it, and, you know, he's really impressive what he's able to do.
George Brett approves of Whit Merrifield's streak. He says, I don't want Merrifield to ever go 0-for-4. Get all the base runners we can. Merrifield to go for the record tonight. Brett says he's all cool about it. He's not worried about the record falling. Not really. I'm rooting for him. He deserves it. He's a good kid. He's worked hard to get here. I like watching him play. These streaks are hard. 30 games is a lot. That means you can't go in a slump or have one bad day for a month. That's true. 30 games, that's a month. And that means you didn't have an offer in 1 month, which is hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Merrifield just honored to be in the same conversation with George Brett, of course, Royals Hall of Famer and Major League Baseball Hall of Famer. And so Witt will try to break the record against Seattle in Game 3 of their series. As we said last night, the Royals lose 6-3. Jake Junis threw 94 pitches in 4 innings. They pulled him after four innings because he had thrown 94 pitches. Threw 35 pitches in the top half of the fourth, and that was it. He takes the loss. Glenn Sparkman came in, and he scattered six hits, a couple of runs just to buy some time. The Richard Lovelady making his Major League debut. What a great baseball name, Lovelady. And he did. He looked good in his one inning of work, struck out a couple, but Kyle Zimmer looked good in his first inning this year, too, and now he's back in the minors. And the Royals offensively struggle a little bit. Merrifield 2-for-5. Mondesi and Gordon each had a couple of hits, but Gordon came up empty when they had runners in scoring position. There's a misleading stat. And I'm not knocking Alex Gordon. He went 2-for-4, and people look at the box score, didn't watch the game, and say, oh, hey, Alex hit. He's 2-for-4. That was a good game. Well, the two times he was out was they had runners second and third. Another time they had runner at second scoring position. He couldn't score. He couldn't get a base hit with two outs. So the two times he didn't get a hit were the runners on base. When he got hits, I don't think there was anybody on. So sometimes the stats can be misleading. So Royals will go back at it tonight, as it'll be game three of that series as the Royals take on the Mariners. And on the hill for KC will be Heath Fehlmeier, who was just called up. And we figured he'd probably be the Royals' fifth starter. And the Mariners have the best record in baseball at 11-2. The Royals have one of the worst at 2-8. Then the Royals will be back at it early tomorrow at 12:15. Usually those afternoon games are at 1:15, but it'll be 12:15 tomorrow. Jorge Lopez will get his second start of the year for the Royals against Seattle coming up tomorrow, as the Royals will try to avoid being swept tonight or tomorrow, as the Mariners are playing some really good baseball right now. Okay, so NBA, the big news yesterday was Magic Johnson stepping aside as president of the Lakers. Of course, he was pretty instrumental in getting LeBron to come to L.A. I wonder what LeBron thinks about all this. That's what I really want to hear from. Here's Magic on why he was stepping down as the leader of the Lakers in the front office.
I had more fun on the other side than on this side, because now tomorrow I would have to affect somebody's livelihood and their life. And I thought about that. I said, that's not fun for me. That's not who I am. And then I don't want to put her in the middle of us, you know, even though she said, hey, you do what you want to do. I want to go back being who I was before taking on this job.
Magic says it's a hard decision, but based on what he just said, it doesn't sound like it was a hard decision.
It's hard when you love an organization the way I love this organization. It's hard when you love a person like I love Jeannie. I don't want to disappoint her. I don't want to, you know, we love Luke, you know. So I got to make a decision, and that's a tough thing. I'm good with where I am. I'm happy. I want to do the things I used to do. So I had to weigh both situations, and so this is better for me.
Well, here's what's interesting about Magic Johnson. He's a terrific basketball player. You see some of these stars don't do well in the front office. You know, Michael Jordan hasn't been great in the front office, even as an owner. Magic certainly has not been good at this. Isaiah Thomas was not good in regards to a coach, and then he had a front office job at one point, but not as high and mighty as Magic Johnson did with the Lakers. And I've always thought this wasn't I just never thought Magic is this type of guy. I never have felt that. And he says, well, it's not fun. Well, you don't know that before you took the job. I mean, come on, man. You should know what you're getting yourself into. If anybody should know, he should be him. And he didn't stick around and put in the time at the office, reports are. He wanted to go have fun. And so, in essence, he neglected his job. And he didn't, he brought LeBron in. Okay, great. You got LeBron to come. But he couldn't bring in Anthony Davis in a trade. There was accusations of tampering there, all kinds of problems. Alienated some of the players on the team. By the way, Magic handled that out in public. Of course, he got in some trouble trying to go after Paul George. Magic, apparently, he's quitting because he can't handle the job. That's according to various reports. And then there was talk about Jason Kidd maybe being the next head coach of the Lakers. And there was some blowback against that, and Luke Walton and Magic haven't talked for weeks. That's not a good sign. Luke Walton is the head coach, and so now it's up to Jeannie Buss, the owner, to decide who's going to be the head coach of the Lakers, it looks like, unless she hires somebody to make that decision. And so LeBron's probably sitting there going, hey, Cleveland doesn't look so bad now, because right now LeBron's 34. He missed some games due to an injury. Maybe he's going to start to break down. Maybe he won't. You don't have any star player to come with him. You got lots of free agents that are Kawhi Leonard and Klay Thompson. These guys are going to be free agents. Anthony Davis can force the trade. They still have him under team control for next year, the Pelicans do. He can try to force a trade. You just don't know if the Lakers are going to be able to pull somebody in there, because it seems a little bit toxic. Is LeBron toxic? I don't know, but with Magic stepping aside, they better figure things out in a hurry if you're the Lakers in regards to their structure at the top of their organization. And then, of course, you had all the distractions with the Ball family, LeVar Ball. The Lakers went ahead and drafted Lonzo Ball. Magic made that decision. And now Magic says, I'm out. It's just like, it's almost like Tony Peña of the Royals back in 2004 when his whole moniker was, just believe, and then he quit 20-some games into the season in 2004, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Just quit. Well, he didn't believe.
Yeah.
He was preaching a whole false narrative. So I just think it's a mess with the Lakers, and if I'm LeBron, I'm like, boy, I wish I had an opt-out after the first year.
Yeah. And I know you're emotional about it, but the thing that gets me is when he says, I don't want to have to affect somebody's life like that tomorrow. And it's like, think you were getting
exactly,
into?
Right.
Like,
how naive were
now,
you?
I understand that you might not have known that you weren't going to have the flexibility to be free and
sure.
mentor some of these, because if you're a mentor, you can't
right.
do that because that's tampering.
Right.
I think that's a lot of what he was talking about. Like, he had guys calling him, can you help me out with my game and things like that. Well, no, you can't when you're in that situation, because you can't be talking to players from other teams and helping them.
Right.
Because that's tampering. Whether that's the right interpretation of what tampering actually is, it still is.
Right.
But it's just like, what did you expect? On that part, for me, it was like, well, that's what the job entails.
And
Jeannie Buss is going to have to make that decision because they're not going to get a president before tomorrow.
No.
They need to know now. That's what it is now.
Yeah.
After your last game of the season, you've got to evaluate and see if this coach is sticking around, because if he's not, free agency is going to hit. And you're going to start talking to people that aren't playing anymore.
Do you think this is a chicken bleep way out of this is Magic, because now he doesn't have to fire Luke Walton?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is that's what it kind of comes off to
it
me.
Does.
That's why that's the only part of that bothers me.
I don't have the stones to make this big decision, so now I'm just going
to
throw it in the owner's lap.
And he didn't even talk to Jeannie Buss before,
but he doesn't talk to her about it.
Yeah, like he didn't even talk to her. He just did this press conference. He's like, I didn't talk to her because I thought she might talk me out of it. And it's like,
it's all weird.
About that, yeah.
It seems like Magic's all about Magic, is what it seems like to me. And I've kind of felt that way for a long time about Magic, even though I still respect and love the way he played the game.
Well, there's a lot of guys that are like that, too. You know? He's not the only one.
No, he's not.
There's been a superstar in the NBA that's been all about himself.
Yes, absolutely. Now, one guy that hasn't been all about himself is Dirk Nowitzki. He retired last night, made an official final home game with the Mavericks. But guess what? There was another old guy that stole the show. Jamal Crawford, who is 39 years old or young, had 51 points last night for the Suns at Dallas against the Mavericks. He was 18 of 30 from the floor off the bench. He is the oldest NBA player to score 50 or more in an NBA game, and he's talking about retiring. Why? Why? If you could score 50 in a game, and granted, it's a mop-up game late in the year. I get all that. And they did lose, by the way. The Suns still lost, even though he had 51. Devin Booker scored 59 recently, and I think they lost.
Yeah.
So the Suns score lots of points and get their individual accolades, but they don't win very many games. Josh Jackson, former Jayhawk, is with the Suns as well. They got a lot of young talent, DeAndre Ayton and others, but they just haven't put it together yet. So Jamal Crawford kind of stealing the show last night, but Dirk Nowitzki was the star for the most part, obviously for the Maverick fans, his final home game before he retires, won an NBA title back in 06 when the Mavericks knocked off the Heat, if you remember that. NBA playoff scenarios, they're too complicated. The East is easy. Bucks are the 1 seed. The Raptors are the 2 seed. The 76ers are the 3. The Celtics are the 4. The Pacers are the 5. So the Pacers will be at Boston for the first game of their series. Brooklyn Nets are the 6 seed right now. Orlando is 7. Detroit the 8. But Charlotte still has a chance to get in the playoffs with some help. In the Western Conference, it is a complete and muddled mess. Golden State's the 1 seed, and that is all we pretty much know. Denver, Houston, and Portland could be anywhere from 2 to 4 in the seedings. Utah has locked in the 5th seed, so Utah knows where they are. The Thunder, if they would win against the Bucks, they would finish in the 6th spot. But if they lose to the Bucks and they tie with the Spurs, they fall a spot because the Spurs have the tiebreaker over the Thunder. And the Spurs have their finale against the Mavericks, which will be Dirk Nowitzki's final game. So if the Bucks beat the Thunder and the Spurs beat the Thunder, excuse me, the Spurs beat the Mavericks, then the Spurs move up to the 6th spot and the Thunder fall to the 7. And the Clippers right now are going to finish either 7th or 8th. So it's an interesting scenario here because, you know, you can't jockey for position and tank a game on purpose because you want to play the Nuggets instead of Houston, or you want to play Portland instead of Houston or Golden State or whatever. You don't have any idea how this is all going to fall out. Because the Thunder last night with that last-second win by Paul George over Houston may have actually locked themselves into a matchup with Houston, which if I'm the Thunder, I'd much rather play the Nuggets. or Portland, then I want to play Houston. But the Thunder have beaten Houston the last couple times, but they had the rally and dig deep and barely win both of them. I don't think the Thunder are going to beat the Rockets in a best-of-seven series. I think they could beat the Nuggets in a best-of-seven, although I don't hold a lot of hope out about that. I do think they can beat Portland in a best-of-seven, but and not against Golden State. So that's a team I worry about because that's a team I like in the NBA, the Thunder. And the Spurs, that we've talked about before, the Spurs would love to play Denver instead of course, Golden State. So it is interesting, and there's a possibility that San Antonio could play Houston.
Yeah.
So it's a wild scenario. One game to go in the season, and only two spots are locked in out of the eight in the Western Conference. I mean, we know all the teams are going to be in the playoffs. We just have no idea the order whatsoever.
I need the Thunder to beat the Bucks.
I'm all for that.
Because the Bucks don't have anything left to play for.
They don't.
They're firm number one in the East.
Right.
And then I need the Spurs to win. I'm set.
Yeah, I think you'll win. You're in the Mavericks.
Then I got to make sure that the Nuggets can finish this off and finish in second.
Yeah, that's true. The Nuggets, who do they got left here? The Nuggets, they got the Timberwolves at home, so they probably will be fine. The Nuggets can't finish any worse than third. They'll be either two or three. Golden State, the one seed. UCLA hires their man. Boy, they messed up this search, didn't they? Mick Cronin is their guy. Mick Cronin, who's been the NCAA tournament last 9 years at Cincinnati, but has never made it past the second round. Congrats. So they're offering $8 million a year to John Calipari, which was a pay cut based on what he was making at Kentucky. That's just embarrassing. And now they're paying Mick Cronin, was it $4 million a year? So they paid a guy half as much as they offered to Calipari to be their new head coach. They thought they had Jamie Dixon, then refused to spend the $8 million on a buyout. TCU's like, hallelujah, we keep our guy.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what TCU would have done. That would have been a big blow to their program.
Yeah, without question.
And then there was talk about Rick Barnes. Rick Barnes says, I got a pretty good thing at Tennessee. Why would I go to UCLA? That's how bad things have gotten for UCLA. They've fallen so far that Chris Beard says, I'm good at Texas Tech in Lubbock. And you've got, who was the one I was just talking about? Tennessee, Rick Barnes. I'm good where I'm at. Jamie Dixon, $8 million buyout. I'd be willing to leave, but you got to buy it out. Well, no, not going to do that. And you think about it, UCLA, they got Steve Alford. He was a hot commodity, right? Didn't work out. UCLA fired the last time they were good, they fired Ben Howland, who had three Final Fours in 4 years. And the year that they fired him, he won the Pac-12. They fired their coach after he won the league.
Yeah.
You kind of got what you deserved, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The Masters starting tomorrow. Everybody talking about Tiger Woods. Every year we talk about Tiger winning the Masters. If it happens, it happens. I'll believe it when I see it. I just hope he's in contention the final day, and I know CBS does too, because that would help their ratings a lot. Him and Phil, and Rory McIlroy, some of those guys, Justin Spieth, if they're all in it at the end, that would be perfect. I don't think Tiger's going to win the Masters. I do think he'll win a major maybe yet. I still think he will. But I don't think it'll be the Masters. But if it is, what a story it would be.